You have it for the next couple of days. I'm wearing my short-sleeve shirt in rebellion of the fall and winter coming because I'm a little rebellious, as much as I can get away with, so I appreciate that. We are continuing. Actually, we have 2 weeks left in our series about origins and looking at God as creator, if he is the creator of everything. And today we're going to look at the limitations he put on. If he is the creator of everything, what does that mean and how he created things? And so one of the themes we've been looking at is that everyone starts with a worldview. People who believe in God, people who don't believe in God, and we tend to form our opinion about life and about what we see on what we think about these areas. And so we're going to look today at, if God is the creator, he created things with a certain intent in mind, the way he made things. And so, oh my, look at this. What's this? This looks like a cell phone. How many of you have cell phones? Okay, here's the big test. How many of you have smartphones? Sorry, how many of you have dumb phones? Anyone have a dumb phone? Yes, I love that. You guys are retro, vintage. I love that. That's awesome. Do you know how this cell phone came into existence? It's a pretty complicated device. This is a smartphone, and I really don't care. This is a Windows-based smartphone. I don't care. There's different types of cell phones, and I like this because Windows is simple, and I can understand it. It is. It's very easy to operate. I love the operating system, but part of it, I just don't like change, and I like things I'm used to, and I don't have to learn something new, part of my stubbornness. So, but anyway, I know how this works, so why learn something new if you know how it works? But do you know how this came into existence, this cell phone? It's a very complicated device. I've actually taken this apart. Actually, I took my wife's apart, and thinking I could fix it. I saw this YouTube video going, oh, you can fix it. It was broken. I'll take it apart. These are very complicated. I'm pretty mechanically inclined. John stopped calling me. Darn. It's distracting. I took my wife's cell phone apart thinking I would fix it and put it back together, and I had to donate it to the cell phone recycle yard. I couldn't get it back together. It's very complex. Do you know how it was originally made? A bunch of atoms and molecules randomly came together to form this shape. And over time, look at this. It's logging into my TD Ameritrade account. Stop that. And it formed this shape. It has inherent programming in it, which lets it get texts and emails. And it remembers some of my passwords, and it logs into some of my accounts sometimes, and it can even do YouTube videos and movies. But all of that programming randomly over time came into being, and it learned by itself how to do all these things. This is the evolution of cell phones. Now, you know that cell phones, there were less complicated cell phones than this in the past. They were simpler. They didn't do all that this beautiful Nokia 925 will do. Right? There were simpler ones in the old days that didn't do as much. They worked, but not like this one. And over time, it created itself. This is the evolution of cell phones. Now, we know... Oh, am I calling my son? See, don't touch this. I need to turn this off. I'm sorry. Touch the screen too much. It does things. We know that's a little ridiculous, right? But that is the view of how things came into being. And what we're saying, it's much more reasonable to think that something much more complicated than the cell phone designed it. Something much more, which is people. Something much more intelligent. People, engineers, electrical engineers, programmers, people who design factories to make these devices, design them. God's best creation. me and you. You may not be a designer, but you do things. You design things. You create because you are God's people, are God's best creation, and an intelligence and thought went into making these devices. And what we're saying as Christians is it's very reasonable to believe, if you look at the complexity of life in general, that it came about because of a greater intelligence. Just like the cell phone came about because people thought about how it should be, God thought about how should the world be, how should people be, how should it operate, and it came about because he is a creative, intelligent being. So where we're going today, what I want to do today is look at if God created us, if we believe that, if that's true, there's certain limitations and boundaries that he made. The cell phone is designed to do certain things. I can call people, I can text people, I can view things, I can watch a movie, I can play a game, which I've deleted some of them because I find them so distracting. There's one I kept, which is really cool, but we'll talk about that later. I could use, now, I do a lot of, I'm kind of semi-handy, and we have a lot of needs, and so there are times I needed to pry nails out or hammer things at the church. I could use my cell phone for that. But it's not the best use of this tool. It wasn't designed for that. We were doing some work, we were painting outside, and the ladder was a little unsteady. And we had a young high school gentleman who was helping me out and was paying him just a little bit, because you can do that with high school students, to do some painting, but the ladder was unsteady. He goes, I'm kind of scared of ladders and being in this unsteady thing. And my first thought was, hey, you just need a little something to slide under the foot of that ladder. Use my cell phone. I didn't do that because I want this to function, and this is made of glass. It might break. It was not designed for that. It might not survive that. The same thing with people. The same thing with God's limitations and boundaries on people. That's what we're going to look at today. If God has designed, there are certain parameters that he made for us that are best for us and best for society. So that's what I want to look at today. Why don't we pray and we'll ask God to bless our time. God, thank you that you are the creator of everything. If we look at the magnificence of how you create us. We know it when we look at an infant, we look at a baby. Just the wonder of life. And thank you for that. Bless us today in understanding how you made us, that we can live in accordance with what you say. Amen. So I want to look at the first boundary ever made. There we go. Genesis 2. We're going back to creation in Genesis 2. This is before sin had entered into the world. This is the Garden of Eden when God had created man. And this is what he said. I think I did the ESV version. I'm not know if I can remember. So this may be a little different from what you see, but the meaning is the same. The Lord God planted a garden in the Eden in the east. And there he placed the man he had made. He placed man in this garden. The Lord made all sorts of trees to grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that had produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the knowledge of the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So in the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Those are, for some reason, those needed to be in the garden. That was the best thing. That's what God did. A little later, let's see here. The Lord placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to watch over it. And this is the first boundary. This is before sin. This is before shame. Even here, man had limitations. God set this boundary up. He said, this isn't the boundary. He says, this is what you're free to do. You are free to eat from every tree in the garden. All of these things you can do. They are all good. Any of them you can do. And here's the boundary. You cannot accept from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you will surely die. We've been looking at this for several weeks in different fashions. But what he's saying is this boundary, you were not designed to participate in this. You weren't designed as a person to benefit. He says, I understand it. It is, you were not designed to do well having this knowledge. That is the first boundary. And a matter of fact, there's consequences. You will surely die. It is destructive. Every time a person sins, we bet against God. We bet, well, you know, God, I think this time I know you're wrong. This time I'm going to bet against you here. It's not destructive for me. It's not destructive this time. I'm going to bet against you. So what does that have to do with today? What does that have to do with today in our culture and our society and believing that? We have a big emphasis in our culture. There's a big message that you need to be free. You need to be free to do what you want, when you want. Sorry. You need to be free to have whatever ringtone you want. That's okay. Sorry. Oh, gosh. Where were we? Free. Free. Now, I'm not talking about freedom. Freedom, as we think of freedom as a country, we are free to do certain things. One of the benefits of living in a free world, you can drive from state to state. You have the freedom to say, in our country, this is the career I want. I want to try this job. I want to drive to Indiana. I want to go here this afternoon. You are free to make those choices. Those are good. It gives you liberty. It gives you the option to build your own life. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about today is there is a modern philosophy that any restriction, any moral restriction, any religious restriction is really just trying to impose guilt and negativity on your life, and they're really just old-fashioned. And that comes at us in kind of subtle ways. The Bible, it's an old book. And it doesn't really pertain to today. Actually, I was watching an interview, an old interview, between Richard Dawkins and Ben Stein. And Dawkins says, you know, freeing yourself from the archaic view of religion in this interview, he said, it frees you from guilt. And it's just very enlightening and freeing. And I watched an interview with Ben Stein afterwards, which was pretty intriguing. I never saw it before. It's on YouTube. And someone said, Ben, what did you think of meeting Richard Dawkins? He says, you know, he's very polite. He says, but you know, really, it's not about them. If he's really an atheist, your brain, they would believe everything's just random processes. They really shouldn't care. He says, what they're espousing is about them. Them being heard. Them being esteemed. Which was very interesting. Them being heard. Having their view acknowledged. And I go, wow. That's what Ben Stein thought of the interview. It wasn't about. It was them seeking their own platform. Pretty interesting. So freedom from the rules, this view will come at us in our culture in different ways. And it's very subtle when it starts. I need to be free. I need to be free. I was in college and at Purdue University is where I went to school. And the guy in the apartment beneath Martin was in a two-level flat type of thing. And we were talking. The guy's name was Dan. And the pastor there was sharing the gospel with Dan. He shared the gospel with him and said, hey, what do you think about putting your faith in God? And Dan said, you know, that's a great idea. But I'm really having a lot of fun right now in college, and I really don't want to change. He understood the truth of the gospel, but he's saying, what he's saying is, I really want to have some fun. And I know if I do that, I really have to let go of these things. And he's saying, I want my freedom because I think these things are very satisfying. And they can be for a time, but God says they're destructive. So I want to look at this a little farther here. So is the law bad? Is it designed to imply negative things? Let's look at Romans. Let's look at a biblical view here, Romans 7:12. But still, the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy, right, and good. If we're going to hold up the Christian belief, God's law is good. It is good for people. It is good for everyone. It points out things. James, just to reinforce this, a little farther down in the New Testament, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from us, from God and our Father who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Anything that is good is from God. Anything that is not from God may not be good. May not be good. Okay, there's a little bit of the biblical background and the biblical basis, and I want to look at how our culture kind of sends us these messages that if you just go do what you want and have freedom, it will be good and better for you. And they conflict with this idea. I've been looking at this concept of limitations and boundaries when God sets a boundary that it's good for us. Why do boundaries exist? There's actually quite a bit of writing on this, not just Christian writing, and I'm actually finding that people define this in different ways, but I want to look at several of the different boundaries. There's physical boundaries. These are the most obvious to describe. This building has a physical boundary. These walls exist. It creates a separation. What for? Because it's cold outside in the morning, or it's sunny, or it's hot, or it's raining, or there's bugs. And these physical boundaries create a space that we can live and operate, and they help us. There's intellectual boundaries. One example would be, you know, if I try to persuade you in a different idea, like I'm even trying to do today, you don't have to believe what anyone says. It's really your option. What do I want to believe in? Actually, no one can make you believe anything. It's your choice. What do I want to put faith in? I don't have to believe that. I can listen. I can decide if it's reasonable. That's your boundary. I don't have to. I'm not obligated to that. And we try to be persuasive. Everyone tries to be persuasive, and we have different takes. I have a take on spiritual reality. Someone else, the atheists are saying, we have a take on spiritual reality, and you should listen to us. Who's right? You have the option to believe intellectually what you believe is best. There's emotional boundaries. We have a high school group who meets here 4 days a week, and they do their homework, and I should say that they're supposed to be doing their homework all the time. And I was passing by, there was a guy and a girl chatting, and I just couldn't help myself. One of them said to the other, "You're really annoying me," which happens in high school. And I was walking by and decided to insert myself in that conversation, and I said, "You know, that's interesting, because what you're saying is, if you would stop doing this, I wouldn't be annoyed. You are the reason for my problem." And I was trying to help them understand what was just happening, and that they're saying, the reason for my annoyance, the reason for my emotion is you. That's sometimes we deflect. If you had just changed, I would feel better. And sometimes we do that, and I was trying to, and we actually had a good conversation. And so one of the kids, you know what he did? He had his earbuds in, right, while he was talking to me. And I said, "Hey, you know, dude, that really bothers me when you do that. It really annoys me that you're not listening to me and you don't care about what I'm saying. I feel like you're ignoring everything to me, and I feel like nothing right now because you have those earbuds in. It's annoying me. And I was trying to be elaborate. It's an emotional boundary. And I says, you know, and I'm trying to show him that I wasn't owning my own emotions. I can ask him to change, but we have emotional boundaries and what's reasonable and not to carry a burden for someone else. Last but not least, we have moral and spiritual boundaries. And this is one of the things we're looking at, is from a Christian view, all of God's boundaries are good. But there's a message of the world, hey, if you can indulge whenever you want, if you can do whatever you want, when you want, you will be happy. If you own this great device, whatever it is, I don't care which one you own. If you own this device, if you have this experience, it'll be great. It'll be great. So that is kind of the modern view. The modern view is that your freedom is the most important thing. Being free brings great benefits, but is it the most important thing? And any restriction on you as a person is bad. Is bad. That modern view that you need the freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want. Does this really work? You know, if we take this philosophy to the mat, several of us have families and children. Do we let our children do whatever they want when they want? No, we don't. As a matter of fact, I don't let myself do whatever I want when I want. My kids have shown me this game. It's called World of Warships. And I love World War II. And it is such a cool game. And I say, I'm going to sit down and play this game for 20 minutes. And I can get up 3 hours later and I go, what happened? 3 hours of my day is gone. What happened? It's addicting. It is. And I can't let myself get into that too much. You know, my father helped me with this. My father used to race cars in high school. He was part of a car racing club in high school. Now, I was just before getting my license, and I think I inherited this thing I'll blame my father. Maybe it's my flesh. But how fast can I make this go? I wouldn't do this with my parents, right? Just about my father had this car. It was a Pontiac Bonneville. Had a big V8. Now, back then, that's the way cars went fast. You had a big V8. A lot of you guys have 4-cylinders and 6-cylinder cars, but had a 455 cubic inch V8, dual exhaust, 4-barrel carburetor. I knew it was a fast car. I says, Dad. And I had a paper route, and I was cheap, and I saved all my money. I had $3,000 in the bank, and I was 15 years old. That's because I was cheap. And I said, Dad, I want this car. So I'm going to sell it. Don't sell it, Dad. I want it. Nope, I'm going to sell it. My father was pretty smart, because he knew I probably would have killed myself in that car, because he could kind of tell when I brought the car back that the brakes were smoking and the clutch was grabbing and things like that. He goes, in his head, he goes, my son will not have this car. It's too fast, and he will hurt himself. See? So I said, please, Dad, let me have this car. It was a machine. And he sold it. And you know what he bought? He bought this Pontiac Catalina Safari station wagon. Remember the big brown station wagons with the wood paneling on the side, the fake wood, simulated wood grain finish? That's what he bought to protect me from myself. Even that car, I wrapped around a tree. It was funny because I was living two lives. I never did this with my parents. I would never drive up with I was with my friends. I would see how fast can we go. What can we get away with when no one's looking? It's just us, teenagers. And I did that. Nearly killed myself and a friend of mine. When I was lucky, I hit this 6-inch dogwood tree. I was going too fast. 6-inch dogwood tree, and this big, huge station wagon hit this tree, and it ripped it right out of the ground. Flew up over the top of the car, landed in this guy's yard, and he wasn't home. He rang the doorbell. Nobody's home. And I looked at Jeff, because I was driving with Jeff, and I said, okay, no one's home. Let's get out of here. But the tree next to it was this big. If I had hit that tree, praise the Lord, I'd have been dead. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. My father protected me. And God protected me from my own indulgence. So God's boundaries, this modern view, to be free to do whatever you want, has great risks. I gave one example. Think about that. We need these. As we get older, we go, oh, it's not reasonable to do that. I don't drive that fast anymore. Too much. God's boundaries protect us. They always have purpose. The view that God has just made these rules to impinge on my life or to make me feel guilty. Evie, I think I'm stuck. Can you advance me? Or get this whole slide up. Thank you. I'm really stuck. Keep going. There we go. They always have purpose. They do two things. God's boundaries provide for us, and they protect us. This is what they did in the Garden of Eden. God's boundaries protected Adam and Eve. If you do this, you will have life. If you don't, you'll bring destruction into the world, into your family. That is the truth. Anytime we don't think that, we think the opposite of what God's rules are. Say. So that's a nice spiritual concept. What does this look like in life? What does it look like? You know, when I was in high school, I don't know what makes a person popular in high school, but I was not one of the popular kids in high school. I don't know what the terms are now. We had the smart people, which was the, I don't know if that was the geeks or the brains or whatever we called them. I wasn't super smart, but I wasn't real athletic, so I wasn't in the athletic crowd, and we had the burnout crowd, and they were partying all the time. And I didn't fit in any of those groups. And I used to feel really bad because everyone was having fun. Seemed like they were partying or they had a girlfriend or a boyfriend or they were doing real well in this and real well in that, or they were popular. And I didn't seem to have any of that. And I felt really bad in high school. And because everyone seemed like they were doing better than me and having a great time. And I go, well, that's just what I remember, you know. And I grew up in Connecticut. And then I moved out here, and because I had internships, I never went back home. Never went back to high school. And then my wife and I were in my hometown on one Thanksgiving, and they were having a high school reunion 25 years later. And I hadn't seen anybody for 25 years. And so now you go back, you go wonder how everyone turned out, right? That's what people want to know at a high school reunion, you know. So we go back, and all I remember is 25 years ago. This was the class president. This was the popular guy, and this was, you know, people who were having fun. You know what I found? It was interesting. The people who were having the most fun in high school weren't doing that well 25 years later. I realized that value system didn't build a great life. But in high school, it was hard to tell because it looked like people who were having the most fun, boy, some of them didn't make it. Some of them were already dead. They'd already passed away. Some of them were married and divorced. The guy even I made fun of, I found one guy to make fun of. His name was Mark. He was a doctor now. He did really well. So, yeah, I'm trying to get out of the medical profession. I had a good talk with him, and I go, wow. And it was funny. There's one guy, you know how everyone in high school still has their hair? And one guy comes up to me and he shakes my hand. It's 25 years later. He goes, how you doing? Good to see you. I'm going, yeah. Bald as can be. I'm going, I don't remember you. And I'm trying to get a clue. And he goes, it's Bob. I'm going, Not enough. Not enough. It's not coming back. But he's, you know, we all remember each other from 25 years ago. He told me this last time. Go, oh, thank you. Yeah, good to see you. That same view, it for a while, it can look like having what you want when you want is helpful. That message will come at us in the world, but it's not true. We will all find out later that God's boundaries work when we come back later, 25 years, 30, maybe it may not be really fully until you go to be with the Lord, that you find out that following God with your whole heart is better in the long term. It may take your whole life to fully see that, but it is better. So rules, are rules bad? Are rules, well, even Jesus, you put the next slide up for me, Evie. The whole thing. Thank you. The rules weren't made to be, the rules were made to help people. Sometimes we look at, oh, these rules were just made to be an oppressive, negative force in my life. They were made to help people. Here's an amazing example. Jesus, there was a rule to keep the Sabbath holy. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Son of God. And the Pharisees, there was a man who had a physical condition, and everyone watched what Jesus did. You know, they were watching, and they were criticizing him, going, I wonder if he's going to help this guy who had, I think he had a withered hand on the Sabbath. Would he help him? Because that would be working on the Sabbath and breaking the rules. Would he break the rules? They were watching what he did. He turned to his critics and he said, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Jesus Christ is saying these rules were meant to protect you. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. I'm going to help him anyway. They were trying to trap him. Is this a day to save life or destroy it? And they wouldn't. And he healed the man. He went and he says, I came to help people have life. That's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he came. So a little farther in the New Testament. Let's look here. 1 Timothy. We know the law is good when it's used correctly, for it was not intended for people to do what is right. It's for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father and mother or commit other murders. The law is to help people to know, not just a boundary, but to know they need a Savior. So these are God's limitations. We are limited. Sorry, Evie, I need the whole... There's three things on this slide. Let's put them all up. Thank you. The limitations were designed by God. We weren't designed to participate in those things. Anytime we do, any person who does, and to believe that's not true, anyone who believes that, if we're going to represent that, we need to be comfortable saying, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. In this time, in this culture, that will hurt your life, no matter who it is. That's the truth. You'd be better off to put yourself under God's protection and under His provision. That's the purpose of God's boundaries. So if we're going to represent that in today's culture, we need to help build that perspective and to help people to see that. How do we do that? How do we do that? I think we look no further than celebrities. So how do you say it? Celebrities today. I got a little fascinated with some of the older celebrities, and I started looking. There's great documentaries of their lives. I got a little fascinated with Frank Sinatra. I go, wow, I love some of his music. I'm half Italian, so that's just goes together, I guess. He really had a mess of a life. Really had a mess of a life. And I started looking at the people he was associating with and the people he was involved with, and I go, wow, would you want a life like that? His career was partially made by the mob, by the mafia, by the mafia. He went back to the mafia, and he actually stood in front of a Senate committee to try to answer if he had ties and if he laundered money for the mafia. And I go, wow, is that the life you want? Is that the life you want? And we see he left his wife for Ava Gardner, another person. Boy, at a certain point in time, she was a Hollywood starlet. I mean, she had a career, she was in movies, but her life was a mess. It was a mess. People who have the ability to... Now, people who are famous or very wealthy really have the ability to indulge in things and get away with it sometimes. But if you look at it long term, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I think the message we would bring... True fulfillment... True fulfillment in life is going to come from knowing God and living by His terms because we know it's better. Because we know it's better. So if we're going to help people, we're going to bring this message, if you want a good life. These are the ground rules of how your life works. The best, most fulfilling life is going to come from not indulging yourself, but finding God's purpose for your life. Using your life the way God designed it. You know, it's interesting. People who have pursued their own path, you can find lots of... They just become numb to pursue whatever they want, when they want, whatever. They just become so numb to life, and they get stuck in these patterns of addiction. It just doesn't work. There's no life. Life comes from Christ. So we're free. We are free to pursue God and do whatever is good. And actually, the Apostle Paul prayed for that. He says, I pray that you would have the faith to implement every good desire that you have. Just like God said to Adam, He says, you're free to eat from any of these trees. He gave Christians tons of freedom. But it works better when we find God's purpose in that. And if we have friends, if we have relatives, if we have children, and the message will come at them from the world, you need your freedom to indulge yourself in whatever you want. We need to be honest and say, you know, that's not going to work. A better friend would say, that's not going to work. That's destructive. That is going to lead you nowhere. You're going to be alone and by yourself and empty at the end of that. That's the truth. A lot of times we don't want to say that, but that's the truth. That's the honest truth. So I pray for opportunities to do that. That's the honest message. So that's what I had for you today. We're going to have the music team come up and lead us in worship. I thought we could stop in a moment of prayer while they come up. God, thank you for your message. Thank you for your design. Thank you that you made us to follow you. Thank you. There's no other path that will be as satisfying or building. Help us to trust that. Help us to believe that. In your Son's name, amen.